Tonight we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and looking tonight at the identity of a true steward of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And certainly we will see some of these great principles even as the ladies have sung, "More Like the Master." The Bible tells us how Jesus came and he gave his life a ransom for many. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. We know that he took upon him the form of a servant. And he became obedient unto death. We find in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians the issue of the fact that we are all stewards. We are all been entrusted with a great host of goods from heaven. We've been entrusted with time. We've been entrusted with talents. We've been entrusted with treasures. And the real issue of life is, what do we do with them? And the Bible tells us, as believers, we have been entrusted with them by God. And our responsibility, our whole of life, is all about using our life, the goods that have been entrusted to us, for Jesus Christ and his glory. That is what life is about. And here we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're in the second half. We are looking at some specifics of the character of a good stewardship. And we'll look at some of these things. Verse 8. "Now ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign, that we might also reign with you. For I think that God hath set us forth, the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. In labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and as the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you." Now we see this character of the Apostle Paul as really a model, a servant, a model steward of God. And we see how, as a model steward, that he gave his life completely to God. In this particular passage, we see some interesting things about his life that speak of his selflessness, of his surrender of his life, his surrender of all his being to be used for God and for God's glory. Now, if we look at that, we see some very interesting things. We see that the Apostle Paul, it says that we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. You know, wherever the Apostle Paul was, he was a spectacle. We're looking at the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. In Berea, he was cast out of the town. In Philippi, Thessalonica, he was cast out of the town. In Philippi, he was put in jail and whipped. In Corinth, the Bible says, in Acts there, the Lord says, don't be afraid to speak. Don't be afraid. For I have many people in this city. He was in danger constantly. His life wasn't his own. You know, it's kind of interesting what it says here. It says, we are fools for Christ's sake. We are fools for Christ's sake. But ye are wise. We are weak, but you're strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. You know, the Apostle Paul was willing to appear as a fool. He was willing to be despised. He was willing to be weak so that the people he ministered to could be the very opposite. Now, think about that. We're fools. Hey, have you heard of this fool, Paul? Preaching this crazy message of the resurrection. Preaching about Jesus Christ, some Jesus Christ who died. You ever heard of that guy? What was the public opinion of Paul? He's a fool. What was the result? People got saved. They got rescued from themselves. They got rescued from their sin. They got the Word of God. They learned how to live. Their families were put back together. They got freed from sin. They start being successful in life. You know why? Because someone came a fool. So they could be wise. He said, you're strong. You're strong. You know, people look at you and they say, ooh, that's good. You're strong. That Apostle Paul. He's a wimp. You know, he's a wimp. You know, he lets people walk all over him. He lets people call him all sorts of terrible things. What's wrong with him? He's weak. He was weak so they could be saved and their life could be put together. You know, this is giving us the character of a servant of God. You go on to look at the list here, it says, you are honorable, but we are despised. I've noticed something kind of interesting. You know, my family never had a very good opinion of the people who were instrumental in me coming to Christ. They never had a very good opinion of those people. You know why? Well, a lot of reasons, but you know, I suppose they had this idea that they stole me from them. And they took me away from becoming a successful businessman and engineer and wealthy person. And now he's going to be a preacher. You stole my son. And so they're despised, and I'm benefited. They're despised, but I'm benefited. You know, that's what the ministry is about. It's about giving up your life, giving up yourself, for the betterment of others. Everywhere the Apostle Paul was, he wasn't honorable. He was put in jail. And what was the result of this man who was put in jail? People were saved and their lives were transformed. You know, we see something that is beyond the whole idea of giving up. A steward is someone who gladly uses every one of their abilities for God. They surrender their abilities, their talents, their time for God. But you know, this goes beyond that, doesn't it? He surrendered, he gave up his very reputation in what he did. Because he was a true servant of God. It says, even unto this present hour, verse 11, he says, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. So they suffered hunger. Many times they went without a meal. Many times they didn't have maybe all that they needed to eat because they were serving God. Traveling from one place to another. You know, if you're running from somebody who wants to kill you, you probably don't have too much time to eat or sit down for a meal. It says, we're naked. And of course, you know in the Bible, naked means to have less than proper clothing. They don't have a full wardrobe of clothes. It says we're buffeted. We don't have a place to live. We don't have a certain dwelling place. Now you Corinthians, you have a house to live in. You have food. You know, God saved you. And now instead of being lazy bums, you're hard workers. Instead of wasting your money, you have character. Food on the table. Clothes in the closet. It's because of the benefit of the gospel. He says, but we're doing without those things. But because we went out without those things, you have these things. True character of a servant. Verse 12, it says, and we labor, working with our own hands. Apostle Paul went to Corinth. He was a tent maker. Why did he do that? So he could preach the gospel. So the work of God could go further. You know, in the revival of the separate Baptists that swept America, the reason the revival of the separate Baptists swept America to the extent that in one time in the state of Kentucky, they said every single adult was born again. And the revival, one of the keys of the separate Baptists was they all labored with their hands. They all provided for their own physical needs so that they could go anywhere and everywhere with the gospel. It was about being selfless. It was about giving yourself completely to whatever God wants. And says, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. I'm sure there's people saying, you know what? I'm not going to endure that for God. No way. They're going to throw some rocks at me. That's it. I'm not serving God with my life. Apostle Paul said, you know what? There wasn't a wall there. There wasn't this barrier that says, you know what? If it comes to such and such, I will not serve God. You know, that's going to be tested. That'd be tested. A true servant passes the test. About the time that we were starting Mequonago Baptist Church, there was a precious family that were starting a church in the state of New York. And they had a similar circumstance. The church met in their house. Now that's a unique situation. You know, every Sunday school kid knows what's in every closet. They know what's under every bed. They know what's in every cupboard. They know everything about you. You don't have anything that's yours. It's public display. And besides that, all your guests leave. And then you have to clean up after them. A whole house full. You know, the worst part was having a house full of mosquitoes after a hot Sunday night. Because the doors are open, people coming in and out. And you know, the honest truth is that, yeah, I had to help with all those different things. But thank God for a wife who loved God. Thank God for a wife who was selfless. And she didn't have a psychological uproar by having her house invaded every week. It was part of serving God. We were excited to do it. But I remember a dear couple, we're going to start a church in New York. And the lady had close to a mental breakdown because she couldn't handle the church being in their house. That's it. That's it. I just can't handle this anymore. To serve God, you have to be willing to be completely selfless. You don't put contingencies on God. You don't tell God what he can't do. You don't tell God what he has to do. You don't tell God how things have to be. Your life is not your own. And we find this modeled in the Apostle Paul. And the reason he did that was because of Jesus Christ. His life was surrendered. No wonder he could say in Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, he could say that because it was true of him. Taking this light, taking his hands off it, said, God, this is your life. My abilities are yours. My time is yours. My reputation is yours. It's my, everything is yours. Now, you know, we're talking about the Apostle Paul. But you know what we're talking about? We're talking about every Christian. This is God's plan for every Christian. And I think today we are reminded, the Bible tells us in the last days men shall be lovers of their own selves. We have a huge battle today because it's in the air. You know what's in the air? Selfishness. My life is about me. My life is about me. I'll serve God, but I got the conditions. Boy, you wouldn't have any missionaries, would you? Lord, these are the conditions. No conditions. No conditions. No expectations. Now, Apostle Paul is delineating this for a reason. Because you see, there must be a problem there. In verse 14, it says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. I warn you. See, there's something going on that they weren't aware of, or they had gotten caught into. And he says, I just want you to know that all these people might say all these bad things about me. And I might not have this, the world may not think very much about me. So I want you to remember something. There are people out there who want to take advantage of you. And especially the devil. He says, as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Here's the principle. There are all sorts of people ready to take the Apostle Paul's fruit and lead them wherever they wanted them to do with them whatever they wanted. And they were foolish enough to fall for it. They're foolish enough to fall for it. And he says, you know, we might not fit into your ideal picture. You know, we're weak, we're fools, we're despised, we're persecuted. And here's this big popular guy. And it seems like everybody wants to follow this big popular guy. He says, I want to warn you. He says, first of all, he says, look at the character of a true servant. Look at the life of a true steward. And he gives his life as an example. And then he says this, wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, what is the sum of this? What is he saying? He says, I'm going to send Timotheus. You're being led astray. I'm going to send Timotheus. And what's Timotheus going to do? He shall bring you into remembrance of my ways. Ways of the Bible. Which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. What is he really saying? Obedience. I'm going to send Timothy so that you recognize what is the true result, purpose of the ministry of a steward. What is the true intended result of the ministry of a steward? A steward of the Bible. A steward of God. What is the intended result? Obedience to the Bible. Obedience to God's Word. What's the inference? There's someone coming along and offering them some candy. An easy road. An easy life. Pretending to be the people of God. And they're offering them candy. Hey, come on over here. It's easier over here. Hey, come listen to me. If you listen to me, you won't have to, you don't have to deny yourself. You don't have to follow all the Bible. You know, come on over this way. Come on. You see, what's he saying? There's a whole difference between one who begets somebody with the gospel and the multitude of instructors. That's just the way it is. That's just the way life is. I'm sure the Kineses are there in Budapest, and they have to give their whole life, and they see someone get saved, and there's someone there saying, hey, come on, here's an easier way. Oh yeah, you gave your life? You left America? You live in this little tiny apartment? You gave up that all so people could be saved. But hey, I got something easier for you. Come on over here. I mean, we have it at the university, don't we? I figure that every week there's about 40 hours during the school year, man hours, put into giving out the gospel to university. There have been plenty of times, though, that someone is interested, and one of these interdenominational groups say, hey, don't go there. Don't go there. Hey, come on, we got a good rock band over at Archer Place. Come on over by us. You know, you can live the way you want and still have Jesus. But over there, you're going to have Jesus, you're going to have to follow the Bible. And you don't want to go that way. That's what Apostle Paul's saying. He says, I've begotten you unto the gospel. Oh, there's plenty of people to lead you astray. They haven't invested their life. They haven't given of themselves for you. They aren't a true servant. They just want to take what somebody else paid for and use it for themselves. You know, isn't that amazing? It's no different today than it was in Apostle Paul's day. It's no different. There's all sorts of people out there who claim to be ministers of God. They're not ministers of God. They're just out there taking advantage of people who aren't very wise and say, hey, here's the easy way. Here's the easy way. So I'm going to send Timothy. And Timothy is going to remind you of what the real purpose of a servant of God is. The real purpose of a servant of God is so that the people obey God. That's his job. His job is that people who are saved obey the Bible. That's his ministry. Now, obviously, someone's coming along and they're saying, hey, you know what? You don't have to follow the Apostle Paul, you know, blah, blah, blah. Hey, come on this way. Paul said, I'm going to send Timothy and he'll remind you of what's right. He'll remind you of what the Bible says. He's a faithful man. He's faithful to the Word of God. He's not a hireling. Then we find that very interesting ending to this. Now some are puffed up. What does puffed up mean? Proud. Proud. Got a bunch of hot air. As though I would not come to you. But I will come to you. Remember, he's writing this from Ephesus, and Corinth is across the way. I will come to you shortly if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. You know, that's a great statement. You know, some people are good talkers. And some people could even win an argument. But that doesn't mean they're right. That doesn't mean they're right. Remember, Apostle Paul, he said, I came not with you enticing words of man's wisdom. I'm not this great speaker. I'm not maybe as articulate as some of these other people. And they can win the argument. But that's not the issue. The issue is, what is the power behind the words? Is it carnality? Or is it the Holy Spirit? You know, people can use words to win an argument. I call them winning words. You know, in the religious world, you can win an argument easily. You know what you have? All you have to do is you can use some loaded words and you win. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't matter if it's true, but you can use certain words and you'll always win the argument. And you'll slay the other person or whatever it is. You know, you can always use the word legalist. If you use that word, you win. Right? You win. Oh, they're legalists. You know, you didn't discuss anything. Right? You didn't discuss anything. You just used a term to win. You might win the argument. But God says, I don't care what words you use. I want to know about the power behind it. You know, people can use this word. Kids use this on their parents. And they use it to win. They use it to get away with whatever they want to get away with. They'll say, and this is a good winner. You don't love me. You don't love me. Oh man, you just lost, didn't you? I mean, they use the biggest swear word possible. You don't love me. That means you're bad and they're good. Doesn't matter what they're doing wrong. They just won. You know, Apostle Paul says, I don't care about, I don't want to know what words you are using. I want to know the power behind the words. I want to know if the power behind the words is the Holy Spirit or not. That's a big issue, isn't it? Think about it. Let's use some common sense here. Let's try to paint a scenario here. Okay? Here's a person. They aren't reading their Bible much. They're not reading their Bible much. And you know, when they go to church, it's been a long, long, long time since the Spirit of God ever spoke to them and they made a decision for God. It's been a long time. And you know, when they go to church, they really don't go to meet God. Maybe they go because they have to, or maybe they go because it's whatever you do, and maybe they go, you know, to be with their friends. But you know, they don't go to church to meet God. And you know, because God isn't really important in their life, and their life is empty, you know, they got a lot of, you know, they got to find happiness somewhere else. You know, they got to find fulfillment somewhere else. So their life is full of whatever, entertainment, movies. You know, their life is empty. They got to get something somewhere. You know, God's not good enough. And so, you know, they're finding the slippery slope of movies. And you know what? And their music has changed too. Their music has changed. So what do you think they're going to talk about? What do you think they're going to say? Do you think the Holy Spirit is behind their words? What do you think, Paul? You know, they might be a good talker and they might win, right? They might win. People might listen to them, right? They say, blah, 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 blah. You know, that church, that pastor, la, la, la. Paul says, I don't want to know their words. I want to know the power behind their words. Apparently, same thing was happening to Apostle Paul. Have you ever read your Bible and figured out that as great as the Apostle Paul was, that he had all these people saying all these bad things about him? Isn't that amazing? Now, we're far enough removed from that that we don't get caught up in it. But it's still the same thing. Same issue today. Hey, we have a stewardship. Apostle Paul was the model steward. He gave his life. I don't think any of us, including myself, I don't think we're anywhere close to him. But that's what it means to be a steward. Young person, we need more people like Timothy who are faithful. They're not about their own thing, about going their own direction. He said, Timothy, he's interested in reminding people about the ways of the Apostle Paul. He didn't come along and say, hey, I got a new idea. He says, no. I want you to follow the Apostle Paul. I want you to be an imitator of the Apostle Paul. I want you to be a follower of Christ as the Apostle Paul. You know, these are some great truths for us. What about an application here? I think the application, there are many, but one is, we have an illustration of what a steward is. And a steward is one who has surrendered all he has for God's work. You know, if you have all these abilities and you are using them very little for God, you aren't selfish. You aren't selfless. You are selfish. You aren't serving God. You're serving yourself. And it won't be good when you stand before God and give account. It will not be good. Because he saved us for a purpose. On the other hand, we have this tremendous example of selflessness. The greatest Christian followed the example of the Lord Jesus, and he was willing to go through anything, even misunderstanding and rejection by the people he loved for the cause of Christ. And we see another very important principle. The servant of God has a purpose. And that purpose is for the people to obey God's word. That's their purpose. Isn't it amazing? We have more and more Christianity today that is about obeying less and less and less and less of the Bible. And they're waving their flag everywhere. But the Bible tells us that a steward of God, his purpose, is to cause people to obey God's word. You know, people make a great mistake about the will of God. But I think that it would be good for me to remind you that the will of God always will lead you to greater self-denial, to greater obedience, to greater commitment, to greater risks for God. It will never, never, never lead you in the opposite direction. Ever. Period. God's will always leading us upward. Never, ever does he lead us to less self-denial, less commitment, less obedience, less of any of these things. It's always the higher road. And there's plenty of voices out there that say the opposite. And the Apostle Paul dealt with some of them at Corinth. It's a age-old problem. It's not something new. It's hard to believe the great Apostle Paul had to deal with it too. But he did. Because people are still people. And people still have the same weaknesses that they had in the first century. And the devil is just as real today as he was then. And so the Christian life always involves decisions. Decisions to go forward, to obey, to deny self, to have greater faith, to have greater obedience, to have greater self-denial. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's the message. Are you pressing toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus? You pressing toward that? Or you said, I'm getting tired. You know, when you're tired, you're doing it in your own strength. You aren't living in the power of the Spirit. You're living in the flesh. That's the easy way. It's not the right way. And it's not the way of blessing. The battle's still the same. No one's any different. Whether you're 10 years old in the Lord or 20 years old in the Lord or 1 year in the Lord, the same issues are still there, aren't they? press forward to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, it'd be a shame someone to be a Christian for many, many years and never have surrendered their life to God. Never surrendered their talents to God. Never surrendered their time to God. Living as though they won't give account. But praise God, you know, every day we have a new opportunity, don't we? To make the decision about life we need to make. And know the Lord could come back tonight. We'll never have that opportunity again, will we? And He could. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. That decision of surrender tonight. Not under your conditions. No. Under God's conditions. Complete surrender is the place to victory and blessing. It's God's will. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for this opportunity to look at the Word of God and see the heart of the Apostle Paul. It's great to be able to see the real issues that he was facing, nothing new. It's an almost encouragement, Lord, to realize that these kind of things aren't new. That just the way it is. There's a spiritual battle. And Lord, it's really about obedience. Really about obedience. We know it will be a day and people will have itching ears and they'll want to have surround themselves with teachers so they can follow their own lusts. But Lord, we need Holy Spirit revival in our own hearts. We need to leave this place tonight saying, Lord, Lord, here's my life. Lord, I want to be an obedient Christian. Lord, I want to use all my life for You, not just part of it. Lord, I'm taking away the conditions that I have set of how it's supposed to be, what it has to be in order for me to follow You. Lord, taking them away. And saying, I can trust You, Lord. You're a good God. With our heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you. Maybe He is, and you don't want to acknowledge it. But praise God, if the Lord is speaking to your heart, and you're willing to let God have His way in your heart tonight, say, you know what? Tonight, I need to come to that place where I surrender to God. I've been fighting God, hanging on to my life and my talents, my abilities. I've been hanging on to them for me. I've been looking for that easier path. God is speaking in my heart. I need to do something about it. You know, growth isn't a zap. Growth comes when we make a decision about what's right. And then we need God. And we need His help to keep it and to obey. Say, God is speaking to my heart. There's an important decision I need to make. Important decision of surrender of myself, my life, my abilities. Surrender to God. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. I want to follow Him completely and say, yes, Lord, here's my life. I want to follow You completely. I want You truly to be Lord of all of my life. Spirit of God is speaking to your heart and say by an uplifted hand, yes, that is exactly what the Spirit of God is saying to me tonight. And that's what I want to do. I want to surrender my life and say, Lord, I want to follow you completely. I want to live for you completely. Lord, here is my life. I give it to you. And by an uplifted hand, say, Pastor, pray for me. That's exactly what God's doing in my heart tonight. Anyone here? Okay. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. Amen. That's good. Others? Praise the Lord for young people. And give their life at the beginning. Amen. Perhaps you're here tonight and you say, you know what? I've lost the whole picture. I've lost the picture. That God's plan for me is to obey. Obey His word. And I've been looking for a way out. I know that's making it sound too bad, but you know it's true in your heart. And you say, you know, I've lost that spirit of obedience. And the Spirit of God is speaking in my heart. My ears have been in tune with those who want to preach an easier way. But God has awakened me tonight. That His plan for me is obedience. And say, Pastor, pray for me. I realize this big decision. Pray for me. Because I want to be obedient. I don't want to look for an easier way. I want to obey the Lord, and I want to obey the Word of God. Say, Pastor, pray for me. God spoke in my heart tonight. Okay. Thank the Lord for these young people and for older folks as well. God spoke in my heart. I want to be an obedient believer. Obedient believer. Lord, I thank you for your Word. Thank you for speaking to these hearts. And we marvel, Lord, how you work. And I marvel, Lord, that no matter what message it is, there are some young people, children, whose hearts are so tender. They always want to make a decision. We rejoice in the homes that they are being raised in. In their heart, might you, Lord, this great spirit revealed in the Word of God, your Holy Spirit might continue to work in their lives. We pray, Lord, for other decisions have been made. Maybe others that didn't ask for prayer, but they made the decision because they didn't need prayer. They just made the decision. And Lord, might you be glorified in these decisions for you. And those who needed to make decisions tonight, they're in the middle of the road. Lord, they're paralyzed by sin. I pray you be merciful to them. Give them grace. May the words of God not escape their hearts tonight, even if they want them to. We pray that you would be greater than he that is in the world. We pray your blessing even on the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.